we thought we knew on climate change has actually been underestimated. But the effects of climate change will be upon us faster or intense fashion than we had thought.
The cable TV series Years of Living Dangerously won a 2014 Emmy for Outstanding Nonfiction. It's a high-profile, highly produced, and highly praised investigation into the impacts of climate change worldwide, hosted by respected journalists such as Leslie Stahl and Tom Friedman, and celebrity correspondents that include actors Harrison Ford, Don Cheadle, and Matt Damon. James Cameron is an executive producer. He's perhaps better known for blockbuster films such as Titanic and Avatar. This series first aired on Showtime, a premium cable channel which limited its audience. Now, though, it's out on DVD and iTunes, and James Cameron joins us by phone from Los Angeles. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us about when climate change became an important issue for you.
I think pretty much as soon as I first started reading about it. You know, we're going back 15, 20 years. And just this kind of growing awareness that there were all these environmental problems and climate change was one of them. And it began to emerge, I think, as the preeminent one that affected all the other systems and, you know, all the other aspects of, you know, the ocean, the terrestrial ecosystems. And then it came into kind of preeminent focus for me. And this would have been, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
So let's turn to the production of The Years of Living Dangerously. Tell me, how does using celebrities as the correspondents in this series help communicate them better than, say, using someone boring like a no-name journalist?
Well, we wanted to reach beyond just preaching to the choir. You know, documentaries in general, and certainly anything on the environment, tend to not be very effective in getting out there to people who may be skeptical or disinterested. Obviously, the climate crisis affects us all across all political boundaries, and so we wanted to reach everybody, which is a lofty goal and one that's probably not really attainable. But we thought, what kind of hooks can we use to make good, compelling television and also to get people to watch it? And so the idea of incorporating, you know, Hollywood celebrities and other, you know, music celebrities and so on, sports, into this was brought to me by Joel Bach and David Gelber, the originators of the series. And I was skeptical at first. I thought, you know, people shouldn't listen to celebrities. You know, their lines are written down for them. But Joel and David said, no, we're not going to put them in as talking heads, as supposed experts, because they're not climate experts. Let's have them be concerned citizens, curious and wanting answers, and with the kind of compassion that actors can get to in dealing with human issues. And so let's have them roll their sleeves up and go out there into the field and see what's happening to people right now. And I thought, okay, that makes sense.
What were you surprised to learn or see when you were making this series?
Well, I mean, I wasn't surprised by the horror of what's happening out there, because I knew the facts going into it. I was surprised, I think, at how effective our celebrity journalists were at getting great stories out of people on the ground out there, you know, such as the minister in Indonesia when Harrison Ford confronted him.
Finally, I'm meeting the forestry minister. I have a lot of questions.
We were in Tesonilo.
Tesonilo.
National Park.
Okay.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
It's not funny. Only 18% of it remains. We saw it. There are new roads, new illegal roads. Forests cut, trees laying on the ground, burnt where they fell. It's devastating. It's heartbreaking to see it.
You know, it's some pretty strong television. And the thing that I think that Joel and David did deliver was good investigative journalism and really strong, compelling TV.
So, Jim, what other places do you think a celebrity really made a difference in what you were able to get in terms of a response?
I think in every segment. I think in every segment they make a difference both in the viewer's level of interest and the number of people that show up. And I think they made a difference in situ in the dialogues that they were having. Some other journalist might not have gotten that interview with that minister in Indonesia. And I think we should stress here, because we've been talking celebrity, we also had Tom Friedman and Leslie Stahl and Mark Bittman and Chris Hayes and other solid journalists as well. This wasn't all just celebrity TV. But I think, you know, in terms of the effectiveness of the show, when you've got Don Cheadle tearing up, hearing the story of the people that he's talking to, and you feel his compassion for them, it can't help but evoke compassion on the part of the viewer.
Oh, let's play a bit of Don Cheadle here.
In a lot of the country, something like a drought is seen as an act of God or part of a natural cycle. But where I live, in Los Angeles, it seems like any kind of extreme weather gets blamed on climate change. Sometimes it feels like we live in two different countries. I want to know what the truth is about this drought.
Look at that.
And if it's possible for these two sides to talk to each other. So I'm heading to Texas to find out.
And I think that's what this is all about. Climate change is going to affect everybody on the planet, but it's going to affect a lot of poor people, a lot of farmers, a lot of people are going to have their lives hit a lot harder than people who are sheltered in urban environments. And I think that part of what people need to do to really confront this challenge is to open up and be compassionate for the people that are going to be on the front lines of this crisis in the future.
How does your awareness of the climate emergency, so many environmental changes that threaten us now, how does that affect your work in the craft of making films? What do you do, for example, to reduce the carbon footprint of the kind of work you do?
Well, I'm making three sequels to Avatar right now, which are any individual one of them is a mega production, and we're doing three of them sort of together as one big production. And we're operating out of a studio in Manhattan Beach here in Los Angeles, and we took the sound stages and we put a 1 megawatt solar power generating station essentially on the roof. So we will be net carbon neutral in all of our production activities here in terms of power consumption. So we took the initiative to essentially to generate our own power. And, you know, we'll run a very green set and that sort of thing. So that's the kind of thing that you can do to take a stand as a business person. And I try to live my life as green as I possibly can. My food carbon footprint's very low because I live on a 100% plant-based diet. I think you have to lead by example. You know, you can't just be spouting off, and I think that's where celebrities really trip themselves up is when they spout off about a problem and then they go live a profligate life.
Sun-powered 3D film, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. We're solar-powered.
So what are you thinking about in terms of putting, say, a cli-fi movie in your future?
I don't even know what that is. What did you call it?
A cli-fi, you know, climate fiction movie.
Oh, cli-fi, yeah, sure. Well, I mean, the Avatar sequels are about essentially the future of humanity and the future of life on Pandora and how those two are commingled. So, you know, what's happening on the Earth 150 years from now is very much a part of that story. And, of course, climate dominates that, climate and resource depletion and so on. So that'll be part of it.
Jim Cameron is one of the executive producers of Years of Living Dangerously. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
I appreciate it.
Next time on Living on Earth, a surprising musical duo, a clarinet and a whale.
This is a kind of surprising moment where the whale showed some interest. And so at that moment, you feel like, oh, maybe something's going on here. Maybe there's a sense of getting through to another species through music.
Getting in tune with an interspecies jam. That's next time on Living on Earth.